Good morning, everyone. On this morning ride, I had David Price, a buddy of mine, join me in the segment and just share with me some life experiences that he's had with a loss in his family. And, you know, just to hear him talk about the four family members that he lost, it's just been horrible because the timing was back to back. And, you know, things like that will definitely question your faith with the Lord. But, you know, David has been a very, very good trooper. He's had a lot of support from family and friends. He even, you know, lets us know how he has dealt with all of these problems and, you know, still keeping his head up high. In the segment, he also talks about what he's seen in the transition of my life and how he's seen how the Lord has worked and how it's helped motivate him to keep strong with the Lord. So hopefully you enjoy what you're about to hear. Thank you for listening. And if you want to hear anything else specific on the show, please comment. Let me know. Eventually, I'm going to start running out of things to talk about. But with your support and your help, and, you know, it'll definitely help my podcast out. So thanks for listening and hope you enjoy.
Morning, David.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, buddy.
All right. Well, we're already recording on this podcast. So I just wanted to welcome you to my podcast. And this will be this week's version of the Who Was the Real Billy Neely podcast.
Thank you for inviting me, sir.
No problem, man. Real quick, tell everybody who you are and how we know each other.
Well, of course, I'm David Price. We've known each other a long time. We wrestle together. We do some work together. You're one of my best friends. You're an inspiration to me. How you changed your life around.
Well, thank you for the positive comments, and I guess the people listening, we're good friends and co-workers, and I guess you could say ex-cohorts in the industry of pro wrestling. What else do we, you and me personally, what do we share in common?
Oh, that one's easy, man. We got the same birthday.
That's right. We're both Scorpios.
That's right.
November 16th.
Yes, sir.
I think I just got you by a year or two by age, though, right?
Yeah, just a year or two. Maybe.
Well,
maybe three.
Yeah. It's old dog right here, man. But some people listening probably will think, you know, me at 46 years old is not old, but you know, definitely my body feels it. I feel like I'm about 60.
Well, you don't look like it, brother. You look like you're about 42, maybe.
You need to go to the same eye doctor I go to, man.
I got to go to the eye doctor for sure.
Well, I guess we'll start off with today's conversation. You talked about inspiration, and I know we've probably known each other close to about 15 years, you would say, correct?
Yes.
And, you know, during these 15 years, you have known me in two different aspects of, you know, the person that I currently am and the person that I used to be. And when you said inspiration, could you just let me know a little bit, you know, how you feel with that inspiration on and how it's impacted your life?
Well, every time I went through a marriage problem, which I'm resolving that issue, but I was going through a marriage problem, I could call you and you wouldn't judge me. You would just listen to what I had to thoughts on it. And you taught me a lot in the wrestling ring. You gave me you've given me positive energy with my past 6 years of losing a lot of my family, and you've been there for me. When my daughter died, you know, you were going to do a lot of things for me, but I just wouldn't let you because I'm just that kind of person. But you put the thought out there anyway.
Well, and as far as, you know, you've definitely seen the change in my drive for the Lord. Has that affected you any at all?
Yeah, man, because I don't attend church every Sunday, but I do go as often as I can. And it's not because of you directly, but, hey, if Billy Neely can do it, David can do it too.
Well, I appreciate that, and definitely, you know, I want to chime in about that. You know, where we live in the South, in Alabama, and you know, it's referred to as the Bible Belt, and I actually had this conversation just this past Sunday with a lady at a speaking engagement that I had, and I try to attend church every Sunday morning because. I really enjoy the camaraderie that I have with the church members. I love the music that you know our church praise and worship team puts out there, and the messages that are given, and even just listening to the pastor of my church. But you know, the lady that I spoke with this past Sunday, you know, she made it very, very clear in understanding. In a way that I wish I should have recorded it, because it would definitely have been a good message for people to know and understand about their relationship with the Lord. And where I'm getting at is, you know, like I said, we're in the Bible Belt, and everybody believes that every time the church doors open, you need to be sitting in church and on the pew and have your Bible open and have your hymns open. And when the, you know, the pastor tells everybody to stand up and sit down, that's what everybody believes. And you know, this lady, she was in her early 70s, I believe, maybe late 60s. I don't think she told me her age, but you know, she did tell me that she grew up in a traditional Baptist church, and for years was under the impression of you have to be that person that wants the doors open, and you got to be in there worshiping the Lord. If not, you were wrong. And where we were getting at is, or where we were at with this whole conversation is I was asked to come out with one of my buddies this past Sunday in Alabaster and give about a 15-minute testimonial and sermon to a bunch of young baseball players that were in a travel ball baseball tournament. And there's a ministry that goes to these tournaments called Cross the Plate. And basically, they wanted to bring church to this event for people that were missing out on their Sunday services to while they're out there watching these young men play baseball. And that's where the conversation went with this lady. And she said, you know, I lived the majority of my life thinking that I had to be in church, and I've missed out on so many things with my family, not knowing that as long as you have the Lord in your heart and you're talking to Him and putting Him first, it doesn't matter where you're at, you're still receiving the Word.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to get at with that, you know, with you, is just know that, you know, brother, you don't have to be in church every Sunday or every Wednesday or, you know, Tuesday Bible studies or all these meetings. As long as you have your relationship deep with the Lord, that's all that matters.
Yeah. And as the Bible teaches, though, Billy, what we're doing right now, we're having church because it says when two or more is gathered, then, you know, in the Lord, then there's church.
That's, you're absolutely right. And you know, last night I was reading a devotional on my Bible app, and one of the things that that had a little story from a lady about, you know, how she was talking about her experience with the Lord and everything. And she said that, you know, the Lord, which is, I don't want to say she said, she quoted, and this is true, you know, the Lord says, put him first instead of last. And she was reading the Bible every night before she went to bed, and was like, you know, I'm going to finish every day off reading the Bible. And she read this verse, and it, you know, it's like, put the Lord first. So she changed her whole lifestyle for the Lord, and just, you know, every day when she woke up, she prayed and read her Bible. And you know, that's actually something that I just started today, and it's you know, a very, very you know, good, I don't want to say theory, but a way to, you know, to start your day off, give yourself positive vibes, you know, with the Lord. And actually right now, you know, this is my morning talk about the Lord. You know, we're rejoicing and conversing about the Lord.
Exactly.
You know, with our friendship, and as you discussed just a little bit ago, about, you know, loss in your family, that's something that I definitely would like for you to talk about today, because, you know, I personally know what has went on with your life, and I want to hear your story about the losses you've had, and then I want to just, you know, offer you some encouragement from my experiences that I've had in life with loss as well. So, you know, I know that you lost your daughter I think it was a little over a year ago, correct?
Yes, last February.
And then I know that you had lost your mother and your sister, and both of those losses were just like right back to back, and then your daughter. I mean, so tell us briefly, you know, about those losses and how it's really impacted your life.
Well, my mom died in 2013. Just unexpectedly, she was in the hospital. She would get better, then she would get worse. She would get better, she would get worse. You know, when she died, that was like my whole world was taken away from me, because I was a mama's boy, and most of us are. And the hardest part was that we had to make a decision to take her off the breathing machine. So I sit and wonder often all the time, hey, if we left her on there because she got better. Even though the doctors told us, no, she'll never get better. She's got, you know, she had asthma real bad. Her lungs were messed up. So, you know, it just, you know, if you've never had to make that call, you don't know what it's like, because it's a hard decision to make, period.
Oh, it is. You know, back in 2011, I had to make that decision with consultation with a few other family members with my nephew. And it is. It's a hard decision, because you're thinking, all right, what is God's will, and what is my desire compared to, you know, what do I feel that is best? And some people, and not saying that, you know, this was you, but some people are real greedy and want to say, no, I want to hold on to them longer because I don't think they're ready for the Lord.
Well, I know my mom was a Christian lady. She kind of like what you talked about. Every time the church doors was open, she was in the church. So that, you know, in that aspect, we talked about it, we prayed about it, and God, you know, I think God put the decision in our hearts to turn the machine off, because she couldn't live without a breathing machine. So,
right,
you know, and she always says she never wanted to live like that. So, you know, her input with what we talked about, and with God's answers of what he gave us, I know we did the right thing, but still it doesn't help the situation any.
Yeah, most definitely, because, you know, it starts the grieving process, it starts the loss process, and it definitely, you know, starts, you know, depression, man.
Oh, yeah.
Now, with that, all right, you know, you lost your mother, and then next was your sister, correct?
Yeah, 11 months later, my sister had a blood clot turn loose from her leg and go to her heart, and it pretty much killed her instantly. And a lot of people may not be close to their siblings, but me and my sister never really fought. Maybe it's because of the 5-year difference in us. We got along like best friends, and you know, like I said, losing my mom was losing my whole world, but when I lost my sister, it was like losing everything, because if I needed help, she was there. If she needed help, I was there. It wasn't never one of those deals where, and even if it was just about money, hey, don't worry about paying me back, you know what I'm saying? But it's not about the money, it's just the brotherly sister bond we had together was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's brothers, you know, that's definitely, you know, two situations that just hit you back to back. And you know, the grieving process of your mother is not even close to settling down just a tad, and then you know, boom, all of a sudden you know, you lose your sister. I mean, how did that make you feel, you know, with those two losses, you know, back to back? I mean, how are you feeling in life, and how are you talking to the Lord, or how are you looking towards the Lord and thinking that, was he there?
Well, to be honest with you, my talk with the Lord was not the right way. And I'm not saying I said bad words or whatever, but I was asking him why, what did I do to deserve these two losses back to back? And, you know, he gave me the answer I was looking for. He told me he was ready to add some flowers to his garden, and he needed some. So, you know, and I know he does not do anything wrong at all. And, you know, when he's ready for you, he's ready, you're going.
Yeah, and you know, that's a lot of people's understanding, and I know I've had that, man. I lost my father sort of unexpectedly. You know, we were able to have him around about a day and a half after, you know, everything happened with him. And you know, this happened in 2012. And that was just the, to me in life, that was the tip of the iceberg as far as losses. You know, I'd lost friends growing up. In high school, I had a very good friend drowned. And I was like, you know, as a teenager, it's like, you know, why is he gone? Because I've swam with him multiple times, and he was a phenomenal swimmer. And for him to pass away under that started in my life, you know, the questioning of the Lord and his ways. And, you know, it even expanded into my days in the military, and even expanded into my days in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a situation in law enforcement, I had a coworker pass away, when I worked for Pell City Police Department. And this man had a happy marriage. He had two beautiful daughters. One of them was newly born. Just, you know, everything was going great for him. He was a phenomenal police officer, loved by the community, respected by the community. And here I was, I was sort of freshly divorced. I was a wild adult. I lived my days during that time frame as partying and going out and fighting. And my question with the Lord is why did you take this father, this family man, when you could have took me, that I have a broken family and I have a broken life? And, you know, that was not answered until May of 2016. And, you know, that was several years later that I finally realized, you know, why he did that. And then, you know, for me to hit in, you know, January of 2012, the loss of my father. My father went in for a simple procedure on his heart, just to make things a little bit more comfortable for him in life. And then less than 24 hours after the procedure, he has multiple strokes. And, you know, my dad's laying in ICU, and the doctors are telling us, hey, he's not going to make it. You know, go ahead and see him and prepare for, you know, the loss. And so, you know, that definitely hit me, probably, like I said, as the tip of the iceberg, because then after I lost my father and we buried him, I then said, you know, Lord, you're not there. You always, you know, we always hear that you're there for us. Why have you took all these people from me? And, you know, it just, my faith was gone then. And I actually, at that point in life, I did not believe in the Lord. All right, so, you know, we've talked about your mother and we've talked about your sister, all right? Well, now even the worst thing that takes place, and it's something that, you know, I don't even want to wish on my worst enemies, and it's something I don't even know how I could bear with if the situation happens to me, but then you lose your daughter, man. I mean, I know that we've talked about it, and I've definitely offered my condolences. And brother, I know that was hard, but just, you know, tell everybody briefly about it and how you felt and how you felt with the Lord.
Well, first off, in 2017, May of 2017, I lost my dad. I found him dead in his bed. So that, you know, that was the next death in my family. And me and my dad were close, and, you know, I was following his footsteps. He was a wrestler when he was younger, so I'm a wrestler, you know, so you do what your dad does, right?
But, yeah.
And that really hurt, really, really, really hurt, because I was taking care of him. I was making sure he had food to eat. I was living with him. Me and my current soon-to-be ex-wife was, and I can't, you know, I give her a shout-out. She was good to my dad. He needed to go to the doctor. She made sure he went, but, you know, things just couldn't work out between us. So, you know, but anyway, then in February 2018, I got a call at about 8:45 at night from my middle daughter, who said, Dad, Liz has been shot. They won't tell me where they took her to the hospital. I said, where are you at? She told me. I said, okay, I'm on my way. Well, when I get there, there was two sets of crime scene tape, and I crossed one of them to go talk to a police officer, and he was being real rude to me. I said, look, man, I'm who I am. I told him. I said, I just want to know when my daughter's been taken to the hospital. He said, well, you need to get back on the other side of that police line, and we'll talk later. And so I'm standing there, and Fox 6 News was setting up to do a live report. And so I just walk over to the cameraman and I said, hey, hate to bother you, man. I said, but, you know, my daughter was just shot down here and they won't tell me where they took him to the hospital. Do y'all have any idea where they took him? And he just looked at me with these horrifying eyes and said, sir, I'm sorry, but we're working a double homicide. And that's the way I had to find out my daughter was actually dead. And it was like somebody just took my whole body and all of my soul and drug it out of me and stomped on it. That's how it felt.
Yeah, I'm at loss for words because, you know, like I said just a bit ago, I have not experienced that, and I'm hoping that I don't, that, you know, that I'm expired before, you know, the loss of one of my kids. But I definitely want to chime in. You know, I know that you said that the police officer was rude, and you know that I used to be a police officer. Mm-hmm. And I can say this on defense of the police officer. Believe it or not, police officers sometimes have to chime emotions out of the way in order to accomplish their job. And, you know, because I've had to do that. I've worked multiple homicide scenes, and you know, you got so many things that you have to do to preserve the evidence, to start the investigation process, to find who this sick individual was that would take somebody's life and not take it the appropriate way. And so, you know, I'm not defending him. I'm letting you know my personal experiences. Maybe that definitely will help you ease with some of the grieving process, just to know that, you know, I don't think that officer had any harm or any foul with doing that. He was just trying to do his job to make sure that justice is going to be served on that sick individual. And, you know, I do know, you know, that they still have not found out who the person is, but, you know, just give faith in God and hopefully one day things come to rest to where the individual that did this to your daughter and to her boyfriend that took two people's lives, that justice will be served on that person.
Oh yeah, it will. I mean, and even if I don't get to see it here on Earth, I'll be looking down on it every day. You know, I'll see it one way or the other.
Yeah, and that's a very good aspect to look at it. And just you know, with this our conversation, as I told you prior to us getting on this podcast, I wanted you to mention all of that to really go into probably the most important part of this conversation. Is, you know, those four situations, they've caused a lot of depression in your life. And you know, I'm not a trained doctor, but I am a person that has experienced PTSD. I'm a person that has experienced STSD, and a lot of people don't even know what STSD is. And some people probably hear it and say that's some type of sexually transmitted disease or something like that because of the way the acronym is. But, you know, it's secondary trauma stress disorder. And, you know, it's, I feel that, you know, you do suffer from that because, brother, you've had a lot of things hit you in the past 5 to 10 years that it's going to affect you. I mean, I see a lot of posts that you put on social media. And I know that the depression is there. And, you know, I do everything I can to help you out, to relieve it and stuff like that. And sometimes I probably don't do enough. But, you know, just know that, you know, depression and stuff, it is a horrible disease. And it'll consume your body and it'll consume your time. And just know that, you know, during those times that you haven't experienced that, don't be afraid to talk about it. Whether it's with a person that you trust and love, or even with, you know, the best listening ear in the world, and that's the Lord.
Oh yeah.
And you know, those are things that I've had to overcome myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's from traumatic experiences as a child growing up to traumatic experiences that I was faced with in my days in the military and my days in law enforcement. You know, it hits you, and it hits you when you're lonely, because we both know that when we're lonely, our mind moves faster than a tire turns on the truck going down the interstate at 75 miles an hour.
Oh yeah, it does.
And you know, I don't want to say that it's the devil working, but in a way I do think that it is the devil working, because he's putting those negative thoughts in our head and giving us those horrible memories in a situation that we don't want to have them with at that point in time. And, you know, me personally, when I hit depression back in the day, or back in the old me, I would open up a can of beer or a bottle of whiskey or a mason jar, and I would drown my sorrows away. And, you know, I found that, you know, through my transition in life, that if I just spend a little more time with the Lord and talk to those that I trust, it helps me out. And, you know, with that, I mean, are those some of the things that you have felt as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, I can talk to you. I can talk to your brother. Like I said, y'all, you two have been like, you're like my brothers. You know, I think we're all close like that. I feel we are anyway. But, you know, talking to somebody, getting your emotions out, talking to God, it helps. It does. It's good therapy.
It is. It's really helped me out, man. Because, you know, I was an evil guy back in the day. I hid a lot of it, but a lot of it I let expose out. And, you know, as I said earlier on, when I lost my dad, that was the tip of the iceberg. The first thing that I do is I go out partying with, at the time, my girlfriend and actually my daughter and my oldest son. And, you know, their intentions is, hey, we're going to go do something tonight to get his mind off of it. And I just drank to the next thing you know, I embarrassed myself in front of my daughter by getting into a fight at a bar. And to me, it was like, you know, I'm going to get tore up and I'm going to beat the stew out of somebody and take that anger out on that guy. Mm-hmm. And I hope the guy's listening. I doubt it very seriously because I've never met him other than that night. And I definitely took the anger out on him. And buddy, if you're listening, I'm very, very sorry. And hopefully you forgive me for that. But, you know, where I'm going at is, you know, that's the way that I dealt with things. And I'm pretty sure that's been some of the thoughts that you've had as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, I want to end, you know, this conversation with a few things. And first off, thank you very much for sharing your story. The whole purpose of this podcast is really, you know, not only to let the world know, you know, who I am and what I've went through and the changes that I've made in life with the Lord, but also, you know, to hear stories like yours, just to let people know that, you know, they're not alone, that, you know, we're all human, things happen. And, you know, through all the bad times, the Lord is still there. He doesn't give up on us. He forgives us for all our wrongdoings. And, you know, it's, if you don't have the presence of the Lord in your soul, you're going to be lost. And, you know, I can personally say that, you know, I am not lost anymore because the Lord has brought so many things to me in the past few years that I sometimes say, you know, do I really deserve this because of what type of horrible human being I used to be? But, you know, again, you know, the Lord has answered that and told me, yes, son, you do deserve this. And I want you to get out there and tell the world your story so you can let others know that, you know, they can be forgiven and saved as well.
Exactly.
I guess, you know, the last thing that I'd like to close with is, you know, again, thank you very much for, you know, being a part of this. And I just want to close with a prayer.
Sounds good.
Heavenly Father, just thank you for the time that me and David have had this morning. Just thank you for allowing him to open up his heart, his mind and soul, and just let us know what has went on in his life and in his story. And just, you know, for us to have the time to have this praise and worship together. And just, you know, even though it's been a while since the things have happened, I still ask that you still be with David and help him just gather the positive thoughts in life and just help his heart grow deeper and deeper towards you, Lord. And just be with him, be with his family. And then, you know, Lord, the ones that are listening that need your help, I ask that you just reach out and touch them and touch their hearts and give them the love and joy towards you the way that myself and David and the rest feel towards you, Lord. And just, if you know, if anybody's lost, I ask that, you know, they reach out to me or reach out to the pastor and just, you know, just talk to you, Lord. And just thank you, Lord, for the positive things that you've done in my life and the things that you've done in David's life. And we all know that some of the things that we experience in life are not the way that we see them, but we know that everything that you do is for a purpose. And just again, Lord, thank you for being in our hearts. Thank you for giving us this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And well, and I just want to ask you to do one more thing for me, Billy. The next time you do say a prayer, will you say one for my daughter, Aubrey, who had a miscarriage yesterday? She was 3 months pregnant. And, you know, and it's like I told her in every way.
David, I'm going to do something better instead of me saying that prayer. Yes, I will say it. But everybody listening, just please, just, you know, say a prayer for his daughter. You know, just pray that she understands the Lord's purpose and the things that are going through, and that, you know, life is not giving up that easy, and the Lord will be there and touch her and help her through this healing process.
Yep. And that's what I told her yesterday. I said, you know, God had better plans for this baby the way, you know, in heaven, and it could be a blessing in disguise, you know.
It is. It definitely is. Well, again, David, thank you very much for being my guest this morning. And those of you, again, David, yes, we're brothers from a different mother. We've been joined together as cohorts in wrestling. And just a little over a year ago, you joined the best wrestling family there is. Of course, I'm going to give props out to the Nasty Critters, but you joined the Nasty Critters, and you're now known as who?
Slappy D.
Cousin Slappy D. Well, hey, cuz, thank you very much for listening to me talk this morning. Thank you very much for putting your words of advice out there for anybody. In closing, do you have any, you know, words of advice for anybody that's listening?
Well, yeah. If anybody who's listening knows Billy and you have a problem, Billy will listen to you and he will pray for you and he will talk good sense of what your problem is, because he's been around. He's a great guy. He's turned his life around and gave his life to God. And I'm not saying he's God, but he's a great listener, and he doesn't really give you positive downsides of everything. He tries to give you good scenarios of why something happened or why it's happening or what's going on.
Well, thank you. You know, I want to be known for a man that just that tells everybody the way that I feel, and that's been positive and negative things in my life. Sometimes I'm too blunt, but I feel that you shouldn't beat around the bush on things, and I have one of my biggest spiritual advisors, my aunt, is really taught me that. You tell people what they need to hear. That way you don't sugarcoat it and don't give them false hopes. And that's the way that I try to live my life. And even the way that I try to raise my kids is just, you know, be you and do the Lord's work. In closing, as David said, you know, I'm a spiritually based man, and I have a ministry that I run called Out of This World Ministry. It first started out as a wrestling promotion, and now it has turned into a I don't want to say a full-blown ministry, but it's a ministry just to get out there and spread the word of the Lord. And we have an event coming up. August 17th in Welburn, Alabama at the Welburn Community Park. We have the event's going to be called Praise in the Park. I have several praise and worship bands that are coming that day. And we're going to set up in the community of Welburn, and we're going to spread God's word. So if you're listening and you're looking for something to do on August 17th, or if you want something to do, this is your chance to come out and contribute back to the ministry, to where we go out and not only spread the God's word, but help our local community. If you need to know more about it, you can look at my Facebook page, Who Was the Real Billy Neely? You can look at my personal Facebook page, Billy Neely, or you can look at Out of This World Ministries Facebook page, which is the @ Out of This World Ministries. Again, David, thank you very much for joining me. God bless you, brother, and I love you, man.
I love you too, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good day.
You too, buddy.